Loose him and let him go. All the sickness and diseases that came upon, even the disease that killed Lazarus, there was something that had to be done in order to bring him back to life. And all those sickness and diseases are designed just to do that. They're designed to take life from us. But yet Jesus came, Jesus, the resurrection and the life, came to bring life to death situations. God has got life for you. He wants life to be poured into you. Real life, the God kind of life. Not life as man has it, but life as God has it. Supernatural life. A life that will go on forever. That no sickness nor disease can touch. You know, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He was speaking to the fact that, hey, if you'll hook up with me, if you'll come along with me, if you'll feed on me and my word, then life will be imparted to you. Life will be replaced with the death cycle will be broken because of life that I have to give. And so when we come to church, when we come to Christ, when we come to and praise him and worship him, when we feed on his word, when we pray, when we talk about him to one another, we are actually feeding on the life of Christ. And that life gets imparted to us. So that sickness and disease won't be able to hang on to us. We have to realize that it is defeated in the name of Jesus. Well, I'm walking on it anyway. I'm walking on it. We can walk on our depression, oppression, no matter what it is. Jesus came to set us free and bring life into it. Now this morning, even as we begin to prepare ourselves for receiving the bread of life, Holy Communion, I want us to think about some things. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. The meaning for Bethlehem is house of bread. Bethlehem, the meaning of the word Bethlehem is house of bread. Now, isn't it significant that our Father, who is sending bread of life into the world, would send them, cause them to be born in a place called house of bread. God wants to get across to us this whole concept of feeding on the life of Jesus, feeding on his ability to bring life into us, feeding on his word that brings life. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. My words are spirit and they are life. So as we yield to him, we will have life imparted to us. And I wish that we could get this into our very being. That when we feed on the word of God, we read the gospels, we read the words of Jesus, we realize that we are feeding ourselves with life. My words are spirit and they are life. They impart life to us as we read them, as we speak them. I want to speak life to you now. I want you to just take a moment. And the best way you can receive words, whether you have your eyes open, your eyes closed, you decide. But receive these into your spirit. Now, Father, I thank you that these people are your treasure. I thank you that they are treasures. They are tabernacles of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit lives in each one of them. That they are not in the death cycle, but in the life cycle. That the resurrection power of Jesus Christ resides within them now in Jesus' name. That the power of God that is in each one of them has ability to influence their environment. That the life of God that dwells on the inside of them drives out sickness, drives out oppression, drives out depression, drives out every demonic force in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I speak that they are a prosperous people, that they're the head and not the tail. They're above only and not beneath. And they are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus with you, Lord. I thank you that they walk in the authority of God. I thank you, Lord, that as they speak, words of life come from them and influence others around them in the name of Jesus Christ. I praise you, Father, for your ability working within them now in Jesus' name. Now say this with me. I receive those words of life. John 5:21, Jesus said, "For the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son of Man, life to whom he will." The Father raises the dead. The dead. Now the Bible plainly teaches that everyone who is not a, well, we use the term born again, but everyone who has not made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, teaches this very, very clearly. If we have not made Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, then we are dead in our trespasses and sins. But the scripture, Jesus said, "I have came to bring life to the dead." God brought life to me when I was dead in my trespasses and sins. When I was yet an enemy of God, God brought life to me. I praise God for that. He's the one who calls things that, who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. That's why God goes along and he uses people as well. That people are coming back, coming up for prayer, for instance, and we'll do this next Sunday night. We'll have a healing service and we'll be praying for people, and people will come up who are plagued with sickness and disease, and they'll be ministered to, and where disease presents itself, the person who ministers will simply say, "Life." Simply say, "Healing." Where sickness tries to raise its ugly head, we say, "Healing." When death tries to raise its ugly head, we say, "Life." We speak life into that situation. We bring what the bread of life has come to bring. Jesus said in John 6:51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Now, this morning, as we come to the house of bread, we come to our Bethlehem, as we come to the communion table, I want us to realize that we're coming to life. We're coming to have an impartation of life. You see, when Jesus came back from the dead and he met with his disciples, and the Bible says he met them within a closed room, and he came in the room, and the scripture said that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He could have said, "Receive life. Receive life as I have it." And that breath of life that came into them is the same breath of life that came into you and I when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's the same breath of life that we get from the Word of God when we read His Word, when we study His Word, when we come to fellowship one with another, when we worship and praise Him. It's the same Spirit, the same breath of life that continually flows into us. If we'll accept it. But if we go about saying, "Lord, I know your words are spirit and their life, but I'm too far gone. It's like Martha and Mary at the tomb of Jesus. They had no idea what Jesus was going to do. They give up. But Jesus went beyond their unbelief and raised Lazarus from the dead. If we will grab a hold of Jesus' words, if we will believe that he can deal with the situation that we are dealing with, and we hang on, we talk when we need to talk, we pray when we need to pray, we believe when we need to believe. But we don't allow ourselves to cover that thing up just because it causes pain. You know, if it causes pain, it shows that we need healing. If we, in the summertime, we go out in one of the beautiful beaches here in Prince Edward Island and we step on a piece of glass, pain immediately comes. Pain is there for a reason. Pain says you need help. Pain says you need to do something. Pain says you have to make a shift here, or this glass to just cut your foot is going to cause you to bleed to death. Pain is giving you a signal to do something, to make a shift. It's the same thing with our emotions, people. If we are feeling pain, it's a signal. Something needs to be dealt with. And maybe you've even thought you've dealt with it before. Uncover the thing and see if it still stinks. See if there's still a bad odor. And if there is, then you have to go a little bit deeper. by faith believing that God will bring his fragrance into the situation. And you'll come to the place where the next time you uncover the thing, there's nothing but the flavor of the Lord there. The aroma of the Lord. And this covenant meal that we're about to partake in is a powerful demonstration of our faith in him, believing that through this, we are connected to the Father. You see, the covenant, the communion, is simply a statement of faith. It is a statement of faith, believing that as we participate in Holy Communion, that we are declaring before God, before man, before the angels, and before all the demonic forces that we belong to Jesus. We belong to him. I don't know about you, but I want every demon in hell to know that I belong to Jesus. I want all the forces of hell to know that I belong to Jesus. I want the angels to know that I belong to Jesus, because angels have been sent forth to minister to those who inherit salvation. So I want those angels to know that I belong to Jesus, because then I get the advantage of them ministering to me. Get the advantage of them dealing in my life, maybe saving me from an accident. Maybe there's all kinds of accidents that we've been saved from because of the intervention of an angel. So when we come to the communion table, we let them know as well that we belong to Jesus, that we're candidates of their service. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I believe our angels are a lot bigger than what we think of, and they're a lot stronger as well. They can do things, miraculous things, and take place for us. As we come to the covenant meal this morning, I want us to think about the life, the impartation of life that comes to us as we enter into this awesome experience. I do believe it's an awesome experience. Well, you might say, what qualifies me to come to the table? Well, it's very simple. Jesus made this covenant meal with believers. If we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have a right to come to the communion table. We have a right to declare, I belong to Jesus. I belong to Father God. I want you to stand with me right now as we prepare ourselves for communion this morning. I want us to think about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ hung on a cross. I probably never looked much like that cross over there, but he did hang on a tree. And they nailed him to that thing. And if you'll look at that cross, you'll see a couple of, on both ends, there it speaks of all the sins that man has done that have been nailed to the cross on our behalf. Amen. They've been nailed to the cross. When Jesus was nailed there, our sins were nailed to the cross as well. He paid the price. He did it all. And when we receive communion, we're declaring that Jesus paid the price that I might have life and have it more abundantly. That the joy of the Lord is mine. Now, I want us to pray a prayer of consecration. Many of you, it'll be a prayer of consecration. But if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you this opportunity to receive him right now. Tell him that you want him as a Savior. Recognize your need. If you desire to do that, then I pray that you'd make this prayer your prayer. As we all pray this together before our awesome Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for the life of Jesus that is available to us. We receive him now. We receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We recognize our need for a Savior. And we recognize Jesus as the Savior we need. We thank you, God, for his ability working in us to change us, to cause us to function as new creatures in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the saving power of Jesus right now in Jesus' name.